Now the pastor is preaching right this minute down in Franklin, Tennessee, College Grove Baptist Church. Brother Chris Cunningham is the pastor. You read that in the bulletin. So let's remember him and them in our prayers. We're so glad to have Nathan Howard, Brother Milton Howard's son, with us this morning. We're glad you're here, Nathan. I want you to turn back in your Bibles to the book of Malachi. This is a powerful scripture. Powerful. I've asked the Lord to give me some liberty to deal with this portion of God's Word. This is the last book of the Old Testament, Malachi. And what we find, this chapter that Brother Gabe read a moment ago, that first 10 verses, this chapter is filled with God's rebuke, and God's judgments against the priests and the prophets and the people of Israel because of their sins. It says a lot in this chapter about judgment of God against the sins of the people. But the key thing right here, this word of judgment is turned towards the priest and towards the prophets and towards the preachers because they have compromised the word of God. The priests and the prophets and the preachers have compromised the word of God. Look at verse 7, 8, and 9, just a moment. For the priest's lips should keep knowledge. They ought to tell the truth to people. That the people should seek the Lord at the mouth of the priest. For the priest is a messenger of the Lord. And they ought to find truth from that man's lips. But that's not what they get. But you are departed out of the way. You have caused many people to stumble at the law that you preach. You have corrupted the covenant of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, and of Levi. You've corrupted the covenant, saith the Lord of hosts. Therefore have I made you contemptible and base before all the people, according as you have not kept my ways, but have been partial in the law. Oh, my. Now then, I want you to look at verse 17. This is where we're going to start my message. And the Lord says in verse 17, you have wearied the Lord with your words. I'm tired of listening to your words. You've wearied me with your words. You know, God said to Eliphaz, remember the three fellows that came to Job and spoke to him? And God said, you know what the Lord said to those three fellows? This is what he said. My wrath is against you, Eliphaz, and against your friends, because you have not spoken of me the things that are right. That's what he's saying here. I'm weary with your words. I'm tired of your words. I'm tired of all this preaching and prophecy and lies that you tell the people. I'm weary, weary, weary. You have not spoken of me the things that are right. Look at the next line. You've wearied the Lord with your words, yet you say, wherein have we wearied him? Wherein have we wearied him? What have the preachers and prophets and priests said that offended Almighty God? Tell me, where have we offended him? All right, listen to what he said. Wherein have we wearied him? When you say, watch this now, everyone that doeth evil is good in the sight of the Lord. You're telling people who are evil that they're good. Read on. And you're telling people that they're evil, that they're good, and God delights in them. The Scripture says this, God is angry with the wicked every day. Unless they turn, I'll whet my sword and deal with them. But you say, God delights in them. God says He's angry with the wicked, but you say, people that do good, that are doing evil, are good. Also, the Scripture says this, there's none righteous. There's none that understand it. There's none that seek after God. But you say they're good. God says there's none good, and you preachers and prophets and priests are saying that they are good. John chapter 3 says this, He that believeth not on the Son, the wrath of God abideth on him. He that believeth not on the Son, the wrath of God. But here you say, God delights in them. God delights in them. And most preachers today, in most pulpits, will finish their message, and then they'll look into the face of their congregation, people who are sensual, ungodly, unthankful, and they look into the face and say, God loves you. God loves everybody. Isn't that what they're saying? But God says, they're evil in my sight, and I don't delight in them, and there's none good, no, not one. Look at that verse again, 17. You have wearied the Lord with your words, and yet you say, wherein have we wearied Him? He said, here's how you weary me, when you say, everyone that does evil is good in the sight of the Lord. And He delights in them. Now I ask you this. If that be true, where is the God of judgment? Everyone that doeth evil is good in the sight of God. And He delights in them. Where is the God of judgment? That's what He's asking. God asks here. Where is the God of judgment? Where is the God of righteousness and truth and holiness? Where is this God? He's not there. He's not in their message. He's not in their pulpit. Where is a God who says, I will by no means clear the guilty? Where is He? I'm going to tell you. Look at chapter 3. Chapter 3, verse 1. I'm going to tell you the good news. The good news. I'm going to tell you where He is, where the God of judgment is, where the God of righteousness and truth and holiness is, and where the Messiah is. Where the Messiah is. Behold, now watch this carefully. Behold, the Lord says, I will send my messenger. I will send my messenger. Now this is the end of the Old Testament. And the messenger is about to come. I'll send my messenger. Who is that messenger? It's John the Baptist. That's who it is. It's John the Baptist. That's right. Turn to John chapter 1. Just hold Malachi now. I'm coming back to Malachi. But look at John chapter 1. Behold, I'll send my messenger. And here's His messenger right here. John the Baptist. Somebody said he's the last of the Old Testament prophets. He's the forerunner of Christ. He's the one that's coming. Here it is, John chapter 1, verse 19. This is the record of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who are you? Who are you? And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I'm not the Christ. I'm not the Christ. And they asked him, what then? Art thou Elias? And he said, I'm not. Art thou that prophet that Moses talked about, Christ? No, I'm not the Christ. I'm not Elias, and I'm not that prophet. Then they said unto him, Well, who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that ask, sayest, sent us? What sayest thou thyself? He said, I'm a voice. You know, a voice has something to say. The Lord said, I'll send my messenger, and he'll have something to say. I'm a voice. That's right. And that voice is to be heard, not seen. John was a man that didn't push himself forward. This voice was to be heard and not seen. You know, he never performed a miracle. He never didn't do any miracles at all. He was a voice. He came to preach, to prepare the way of the Lord. A voice. It's the other thing about a voice. That voice, after he delivered his message and the promise, he died. He went away. 33 years old. God, I send my messenger. He's a voice. Listen to what John said. He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, not in a building, not in the temple, out in the wilderness to all people. This is a message not just to Israel, not just to the Gentile, not just to the heathen. This is a message for everybody in the wilderness. I'm a voice in the wilderness crying, make straight the way of the Lord, as saith the prophet Isaiah. That voice of God through John, that voice is to be heard. That voice, after it's delivered the message, he's taken away. And that voice is in the wilderness to all men. For our Lord said, you go into all the world and you preach this gospel to every creature. I'm going to send my messenger. Back to our text in Malachi chapter 3. He says, I'm going to send my messenger. And he shall prepare the way before me. John the Baptist. He's coming before Christ comes. God's messenger. John the Baptist. Declaring who Christ is. All right. Now turn to Isaiah 40. Isaiah chapter 40. And we'll read here about John and that message. Here's the message. Isaiah chapter 40. Get it now. Here's the message. I'm going to send my messenger, and here's what he's going to say. Isaiah 40, verse 3. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill shall be made low, the crooked shall be made straight, the rough places plain, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. Christ is coming, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. And the voice, here's that voice, here's old John's message. The voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? Tell them all flesh is grass. And all this so-called goodliness, you say they're good, all this goodliness is as the flower of the field. And the grass withereth, and the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Hosanna, bring good tidings. Get thee up to the mountain. O Jerusalem that brings glad tidings, lift up your voice. Lift it up with strength. Lift it up. Don't be afraid. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with a strong hand. If Christ is coming, his arm shall rule for him. And behold, his reward is with him and his work before him. For he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He'll gather the lambs with his arms and carry them in his bosom. And he shall gently lead those that are with young. There's a voice. I send my messenger. He's coming. And this is his message right there. All flesh is grass. All the flower of the field fadeth. The false spirit of God blows upon it. Devours it. All right. Read on now. In Malachi 3, verse 1. Behold, I send my messenger. He shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, our Messiah, the Lord whom you seek. Now, everybody didn't seek Him. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him. The world knew Him not. Came into His own nation, they knew Him not, but Abraham knew Him. He says here, and the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come. Abraham saw my day and was glad. Moses wrote of me. Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up. He saw him. And Simeon. Old Simeon came there into the temple and took up Mary's young son in his arms. And old Simeon, he saw him. He lifted his eyes to heaven and said, Father, let me die in peace. Mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Oh, he says, Behold, I send my messenger. He'll prepare my way, and the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple. Brother Mann, is he talking about this temple in Jerusalem? Yes, sir. Exactly. Turn to Haggai. Just two or three pages. Haggai. Haggai chapter 2. Yes, sir. This temple had been rebuilt. And the Lord's coming to this temple. This is what John the Baptist said. He's coming to this temple. And here in Haggai chapter 2, verse 5, according to the word that I coveted it with you when you came out of Egypt, so my spirit remaineth among you, fear ye not. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once in a little while I'll shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I'll shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come. Who's that? That's Christ Jesus. And the desire of all nations shall come. And I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, saith the Lord. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. When did Christ come to this temple? Turn to the book of Luke, chapter 2. Christ Himself came to this temple. Luke, chapter 2, verse 25. And I told you this a minute ago. Let's read it now. Luke 2, 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And that same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. The Holy Ghost was upon him, and it was revealed to him by the Holy Ghost he should not see death till he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when his parents brought in the child Jesus into the temple to do for him after the custom of the law, then Simeon took him up in his arms and blessed God. And he said, Now, Lord, let thy servant depart in peace. According to thy word, mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Christ in the temple. That's what he said right here. That's right. Behold, I send my messenger. He'll prepare the way before me, and the Lord which you seek. Simeon was seeking him. He's going to come to his temple. Keep that passage in Luke one more time. Luke when he came to the temple the second time. Here he came to the temple as an infant in his mother's arms. And our Lord came to the temple as a 12-year-old boy, still doing to him what the law required. Look at Luke chapter 2, verse 46. And it came to pass that after 3 days, they found the Lord Jesus in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and his answers. This is Christ in the temple. He came back to that temple again. Turn with me to Matthew 21. He came to the temple as an infant. He came to the temple as a 12-year-old boy. He came to the temple as the Lord of the temple. Matthew chapter 21. Matthew 21, verse 10. Okay, look at it. And when he got it, Matthew 21, 10. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, "Who is this?" And the multitude said, "This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of now Galilee." And Jesus went into the temple, and he cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. And he said, "It is written, my house." We read that in Haggai, didn't we? This house. "My house shall be called a house of prayer. You've made it a den of thieves." Malachi 3. And it's a powerful scripture. Malachi 3. "Behold, I'll send my messenger. He'll prepare the way before me." John the Baptist did. And God took him home. "And then the Lord whom you seek, he shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant." That's who Christ is, the messenger of the covenant. Now, this is not the covenant made with Noah. Remember, the rainbow was put in the sky, and God said, I won't send another flood. The world will not be destroyed by a flood. The rainbow will always show you that's my covenant. That's not what it's talking about. This is not the covenant made with Abraham. When God said, "This land is your land. I'm going to give you this land and the Jewish people." This is not the covenant of Moses, the laws and the ceremonies and all of the baptisms and so forth. This is an everlasting covenant. Hebrews says this, "And now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant." He's the messenger of the everlasting covenant. "And the blood of the everlasting covenant make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever." Messenger of the covenant. David, last words he said before he died, King David said, "Although it be not so with my house, God has made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure, and this is all my salvation." All of this, the messenger of the covenant. Watch this now. "Whom you delight in." Who delights in him? I do. Don't you? That's what, look at, First Peter. Somebody's going to delight in him. Those who know him and love him, they're going to delight in him. Look at First Peter chapter 1, verse 8. "Whom having not seen, you love, delight in him. In whom though now you don't see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable. Delight in him, full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Yes, we delight in Him. Now look at verse 2. In verse 2 of Malachi 3, verse 2. Now He's coming. He came. And He died. He went back. He's coming again. But look at verse 2. But who may abide? That word, receive Him. Rejoice in Him. Abide. Believe Him. Comprehend Him. Understand. Who's gonna do that? Who's going to abide the day of His coming? When He comes to tell why He came, who He is, and why He came, and what He did, and where He is now. Who's going to rejoice in that? I'm going to tell you. Turn with me to John chapter 1. I'm going to tell you about all these folks that are going to abide with Him, going to believe in Him, going to rejoice in Him, going to comprehend what He says. John chapter 1, verse 10. Tell you who that. Who's going to do it? I'll tell you who. John chapter 1, verse 10. Now, He was in the world. The world was made by Him, but they didn't know Him. He came into His own, that is, Jewish nation, Jewish people. They didn't receive Him, but as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born. Not of blood, not of natural genealogy, not of the will of the flesh, not of the will of man, but the born of God. Who's going to abide? Who may abide, receive, rejoice in Him the day of His coming? Who's going to comprehend and understand? I tell you, these people right here. Right here. And then He asked this question. Who's going to stand? Who's going to stand when He appears? Who's going to stand when He appears? Who's going to dwell in His presence? Who's going to continue to stand and continue to dwell in Him? Well, I'll tell you that. Turn to Psalm 1. Psalm chapter 1. I'll tell you who. Who's going to comprehend? Who's going to understand? Who's going to rejoice in Him? Delight in Him? Psalm chapter 1. And who's going to stand? Right here. Blessed is the man. Psalm chapter 1. Blessed is the man. It walketh not in the counsel of ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law does he meditate day and night, and he should be like a tree, the planting of the Lord. He should be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his seed. He'll stand a long time. Going to bring forth his fruit in his season. His leaf is not going to wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so. They're like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the ungodly is not going to stand in the judgment. The ungodly sinners are not going to stand in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, the way of the ungodly. Back to my text. I'm going to work on this just a few minutes more. Now. Just a few minutes more. Who's going to abide? Who's going to stand when he appears? He is like the refiner's fire. The old fellow that works with gold and silver. He has a fire. He sits for the fire. And he puts the gold and silver in the fire. He doesn't get very far away from the fire either. He knows how hot to make it. And he knows it's got to be done. It's got to be done. The refiner's fire separates the gold from the dross. That's what happens in the when it puts it in the fire. It separates the gold. It makes the gold purer. And the dross, it throws away. The refiner's fire separates the wheat from the chaff. He said they'll sow wheat and they'll sow tares. Well, the refiner get rid of that. He'll get rid of the tares. The refiner's fire separates truth and error. Always separates truth and error. And the refiner's fire separates what you preach to, true faith and pretense. It's not going to hang together. No, sir. Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Well, some of them say you're John the Baptist, and some of them say you're Elias, and some say you're one of the prophets. But whom do you say that I am? He didn't say, he asked them, he said, whom do the men say the Son of Man is? He said, whom do you say I am? That's the difference. Just the question. Whom do you say I am? And they said, thou art the Christ, Son of the living God. That's separate. The refiner's fire. The refiner's fire. That's what it. And you know, over here, let me show you a scripture in 1 Corinthians. Hold Malachi down. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I want you to look at this. 1 Corinthians 3 verse 11. Watch this right here. 3 verse 11. I'm saying the refiner's fire separates the gold from the dross, wheat from the chaff, truth from error, faith from pretense. Now watch this. Other foundation, 1 Corinthians 3:11, can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, stone, precious stone, wood, hay, and stubble, but every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because, watch this, because it shall be revealed by fire. The refiner's fire. That's his fire. That's his fire. That's his business. That's his work. We can't do that. I hear people say, you think he's saved? Man, I don't know. I don't know. They'll ask me one of them, you think Martin Luther was saved? I said, well, I hope so. I sure have. He's been blessed by my ministry. By his ministry. I've been blessed. I don't know who. It shall be revealed by fire, by the refiner's fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Let me show you this, Malachi 3, one more time. Who shall stand? Who shall abide when he appears? He's like a refiner's fire. He's going to separate these things. And he's like fuller's soap. Fuller's soap. I'm going to tell you what that is. I had to look it up. I want you to look it up too. The women would boil the garments. Most of those people over there in that hot country wore white garments. And they would boil the garments in hot, hot water. And then the garments would be rubbed with fuller's soap to take out the other spots. Fuller's soap. Alkali. Alkali. Which whitened the garment and took out the spots. And this is what our Lord does for us in the fire. The refiner's fire. We got to be tried by fire. And read this, watch this right here. Sanctify them. This is what our Lord prayed in John 17. Father, sanctify them. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. This is the fire. This is the fire. Read verse 3 again slowly. And he shall sit, verse 3, and he shall sit, who? Malachi speaks of the Messiah himself, our Lord himself. He'll sit at God's right hand. He'll sit at God's right hand to purify the sons of Jacob. He shall sit as a refiner, as a purifier of silver. And he shall purify the sons of Jacob, the sons of Abraham, the sons of Levi, and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. You see, such were some of you. But you're washed. You're sanctified by the Lord. You're justified in His name, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit of God. You see the refiner who sits here by the refiner's fire. He'll purify them. He will. He will. He owns the gold and silver. It's his. And he makes the fire as hot as he wants it to be made. And he puts the gold and silver in the furnace. And he knows how long to put it there. He knows how long it takes to purify us. And he knows, thank God, when to take it out. When to take it out. Because this is what Paul said in Corinthians. There has been, and the pastor talked about this last week, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above what you're able to bear, but he'll make a way to escape. Yes, sir. He owns the gold and silver. He makes the fire as hot as he pleases, or however. He knows how long it takes to purify us, and he knows when to take it out. And one of our old writers said this. This third verse of Malachi denotes the Lord's constant care of His elect, His church, from the cradle to the grave. He said, I've always known you. You say, I've just known Him since He saved me. No. He's always known you. That's why He saved you, because He always known you. He has constant care of His elect from the cradle to the grave. His eye is upon them in all their ways. And He will purge them, try them, purify them, sanctify them, that they may worship Him and Him alone, that they may offer unto Him sacrifices of faith and love and praise and thanksgiving. O Lord, Charles Wesley wrote this, O Lord, Thy fire our lives must refine until we're molded from above to bear Thy character divine, Thy walk of grace and love. O Lord, purify our faith like gold, the dross of sin remove, melt me, melt my spirit, and mold me in perfect faith, hope, and love. He will, He does, and He's the only one who can. Yes, sir. I hope that's a blessing to you. Our Father, we thank You for Your Word. Oh, where would we be without the Word to comfort us and to teach us and to lead us and guide us? Thank You for Your Holy Spirit, the teacher and comforter of Your Word. And Father, bless the pastor this morning as he speaks in Tennessee. And Your service everywhere. What we pray for ourselves, we pray for Your service everywhere. All of them. Bless them, Lord. Use them for Your glory. We give thanks for Your Word. And we pray You'd give the pastor and his wife journeying mercies as they come back to minister to us here. Thank you for this congregation. Thank you, Lord, for the way you've raised up a people to be called by your name. We give thanks. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Brother Gage is going to lead us in a closing hymn.
Let's turn to hymn number 27 and stand together again. Mm-hmm.